So we're looking at this last sheet over here. And the discussion now was Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. So we mentioned this idea of assuming you're not getting involved with all the Yisurim Darabonim, putting it back in a place, or you're not allowed to put it back in a place, etc. But we have the basic problem of that you might be cooking on Shabbos by heating something up on Shabbos. So we already spoke about this a little more, but now let's speak a little more at length. There's a machloikis in halacha whether Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul or Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Can you cook something twice? You cook it already once, it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, everybody agrees that there's a problem with Bishul. It's fully cooked. Fully cooked means that the average person would say, wow, this is cooked, I'm enjoying the flavor the way it is. It could taste better. So cholent, Friday night, you can have a cholent which is fully cooked. People will have no problem saying it tastes cooked, etc. Some people enjoy the fact that it sits another 12 hours and it gets even a better flavor. That's not called Bishul. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that the moving it from not fully cooked to fully cooked, you wouldn't be comfortable eating it so much, you wouldn't come serving to guests, etc. And now it looks nice, presentable. Okay, it's fully cooked. Now you want to heat up again in Shabbos. So we pass it halacha l'maaseh by salads and bishul achar bishul. So reheating a salad, you have a kugel, it's fully cooked, you want to reheat it on Shabbos, assuming you put it on top of the radiator, that was the example which we gave, right? So that's for everybody agrees the radiators are good, no problem. So you solve that problem. Liquids, however, we are concerned with the Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. So we make according to the Ramah, where Ramosha understands, we make some type of a compromise. We say like this, if it's hot enough that people will consider it that they're enjoying the warmth of a cooked food, it's not called Bishul by heating it up again. But if it's cooled off below that temperature and now you're heating it some more, that's called Bishul, and we're concerned about that. Now, you notice in the parentheses, I put even soluble salads. Does everybody know what that is?
No.
Okay. Dissolved?
Oh. Salad is something they dissolve. So coffee, right? Coffee is something that, how do you make the instant coffee? You cook the coffee, right? And then you take that liquid and you freeze, you dry it, and you use those crystals, and that's your instant. It's cooked already. But so it's a solid. So there's a problem with Bishul afterwards, it'll cover not because it's a solid. But since it dissolves immediately and becomes a liquid, so the poskim deal with that like a liquid. Which would mean that you cannot put your coffee into a clear rishon. You cannot put coffee into a clear rishon. It's fully cooked. What's the problem? Take the clear rishon off the fire. No problem. I'm not doing chazor. I'm not doing anything like that. What's the problem? The problem is that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul by sugar. Instant coffee, instant tea, all those things you should only put in a cliche and not in a cliche. Okay. Now, afia achar bishul, tzli achar bishul achar afia. So, it's fully cooked. Yeah, I cooked it as, let's say, some cooked chicken. I cooked it with liquid, etc. That's called cooked. Now, I want to warm it up on top of my radiator. It's a very hot radiator. It's going to get very, very hot. It's going to start heating it up. So we get to the point where it changes the flavor, and now it has a different flavor. Baked chicken tastes different than cooked chicken. You added a new dimension of a flavor. That's a problem on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm bishul achar bishul, but yesh afia achar bishul, there is baking or roasting after bishul does apply on Shabbos. So, yes.
For the coffee thing, if you're taking the water from the urn, you only have to put it into one cup or tea. Which would be the klisheni?
Put in a klisheni that you can add the. You can't do iri klisheni. You can't pour from the klisheni onto the.
You have to add the coffee afterwards.
You add the coffee and add the sugar afterwards. Correct. Now, and this applies bishul achar afia, afia achar bishul. So all the different sli achar bishul. It only means if it's going to distinctively change the flavor. So I just put on top of the cholent pot and it warms up over there, on top of the urn, on top of the radiator, and it warms up, but it gets warm. It doesn't change the flavor. It's not hot enough to make it different, like a roasted type of flavor as opposed to a cooked flavor. That's not a problem. But if it's going to actually change the flavor, it's a very intense heat. That would be a problem. One exception to bishul achar bishul by liquids, so I make a cup of coffee. So I pour hot water into the cup, I drink my coffee, and I have a little liquid left in the bottom. That liquid is cooled off. So even though that liquid started out as, it was in the clean region before Shabbos, on Shabbos, it was fully cooked, went to the bottom of my cup, it cooled off. Bishalk or bishalk, because it's cooled. If it's just a few drops, you don't have to worry about it. So you can, if you want to use that cup again, you'd be fine. However, in the scenario, if you added milk or something of that sort, you shouldn't do that. But just if you're dealing with hot, just a little bit of hot water left on the bottom, even with the coffee, because that's a chumrah, right? So, not to hate. Don't worry about it. Okay, D, section D. Okay, so the difference is klirishin, klisheni, klishlishi, etc. So this is not new conversations to you girls. I imagine you've discussed all this somewhere along your journeys in the Lama Tesmalachas. Do you girls have my wife for Lama Tesmalachas?
No. Nope.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you missed it. Okay. Right? I would love to take my wife's class for Lama Tesmalachas. She would teach me it. I don't want to tell you something. Excuse me. Rabbi Anna Rizatzal taught halacha for the girls when my wife was in the high school here. And Rabbi Anna Rizatzal taught it very, very well. As those of you who remember Rabbi Anna Rizatzal, whatever he did powerfully. So he taught the halacha extremely well. So my wife knew Hilchos Shabbos, but from that already, from being a teenage girl, she knew Hilchos Shabbos backwards and forwards. Whatever he taught her, she had it down pat. So she knows what she's doing. And once in a while, she's not sure. She'll look it up. She'll ask me, etc. But in general, she has a very good command. Okay. So if you have any local shows, you can ask my wife. That's what I do. Okay. So the Klirishin. So Klirishin on the fire is a Malkum Bishul. You can't put anything on Shabbos into a Klirishin on the fire. End the conversation. You take the klirishin off of the fire. And so, still klirishin has the power of cooking because the walls have been heated on the fire. The walls have heat. The food inside has a heat. It has the power to cook. So are you allowed to put anything into a klirishin off of the fire? So salads, which have been fully cooked, will be mutter to put into klirishin off of the fire. Because it's not a malkum bishul. You took it off of the fire. It doesn't look like bishul because it's not on the fire. You're not cooking anything. The salad is already cooked. It's fully cooked. You're allowed to put it in. If you're going to change the flavor from a flavor of something which is baked to something which is cooked, it's going to be a problem. So I cannot put challah into my klirishin. I could put... What about soup mandels? So there are two types of soup mandels. The standard little ones that everybody gets, what do they call them?
The yellow and the
awesome ones. Awesome. Those are actually, luckily, they are not considered baked. They're considered cooked because they are boiled and deep fried in oil. They're full of oil. They're great for you.
Super healthy.
They're very healthy, yes. Right? The classic little yellow ones. As opposed to you buy croutons, these big like things, look like a clump or something, that's actually baked.
Those are so good.
Right? So you can use those, like in a salad or something like that, you know, those type of things. Putting that into soup, that's a problem of bishul after afiyah. It was baked originally. Now you're going to be cooking it in the hot soup. But in a case where it's the type which are...
But it's not your intention.
You do want the, you do enjoy the flavor. It adds to the
your
flavor.
Your intention is not to cook it. Your intention is to eat it.
That's true. But meanwhile, you're doing it. So the lack of intention usually plays a role in one of two ways. It takes the person down from... We don't push them off the top of the cliff. You follow that reference? He's not Chayv Skila, right? Because he didn't intend it, right? Down to only Asim Rabbanan. And in certain scenarios, it becomes mutter because of that. But that's this type of thing would be too direct to say that way. We have a heter and a miskaven.
Does it matter how hot the soup is?
Yeah.
As long as the soup is Yatzel Edesbo. As long as the soup is Yatzel Edesbo, which we're mock around the share of Yatzel Edesbo. So again, if the mandos are the type which have been deep fried, that's considered halacha. That's considered cooking. So it's in bishul achar bishul. It's a salad in bishul achar bishul. You're not doing anything. So but if it's baked, if it's number B or letter B is baked, but the croutons would be a problem. Now, what about putting seasonings into a klirishin? So can you put seasonings into the klirishin? So you want to put some type of spices into a klirishin? So the answer is most of your spices come; they're not cooked. Your basil, your rosemary, your paprika, all those different things, they're not cooked. So you're putting into the klimishin. Klimishin will cook it. So that's also mina raisa to do that.
It's not even really? Cooking spices.
What about salt?
Now, what about
would you put? Why would you do salt?
Why would you do that?
Wait, why would you put spices in water?
No, so I have a cholent.
Oh.
Take the cholent up the fire. And say, well, it doesn't, you know, before I serve it, let's add some spices to it.
Right?
Salt.
So now, what about salt? Salt is made in one of two ways. Salt can either be mined from the ground, or salt can be made from taking water and boiling it. You take water and boil it; it's considered cooked. So it's cooked salt. So it's cooked salt. So you can add it to your
How do you know?
What about those blue Morton salt?
Yeah. Blue Morton salt usually is mined. It's not cooked.
So you can't add it.
So you should not add it to a klimishin.
Really?
No. Wait, but once you put it in a bowl, let's say, then you can add it.
Now, if you put it, right, just take out the cholent out of your klimishin, and you put it into a klishemi. You put it into a klishemi. It could be the serving bowl. It could be, let's say, you have to take a soup out off of the, and you put it, you're going out to the sukkah, and you have this big soup tureen. You take all the soup out to the sukkah, this big, nice soup tureen, that's a klishemi. So you could put salt in over there. So that's ketchup and mustard. Ketchup and mustard are both cooked, right? But they're not solids. They're semi-solids, they're liquids. So because of the fact that they're considered like a liquid, and you should not put it in a klimishin. You may put it into a klishen, but not into a klimishin. The person wanted to add some ketchup or something of that sort, don't put it in a klimishin. So that's the difference between solid, liquid. Soluble salad, we already mentioned. The soluble salad should not be put into a klimishin. Okay, Irik klimishin. Irik klimishin cooks partially. It cooks the outer layer. So I have a baby bottle, and I want to warm up store it in the fridge, and I want to take it, I want to warm it up before I give it to the baby. Baby can't take, you know, a cold liquid. Will not do very well with it. So I want to warm up the baby bottle. So I want to take the bottle, which already has the milk inside of it, which is not cooked, and I want to warm it up. How am I going to warm it up? So I put it in a big cup, right? Take my little cup, put it into a big cup, and I go over to the urn, and I pour water from the urn onto the baby bottle, right? The liquid in the baby bottle is not cooked, right? So I'm irritably vision is able to cook. So here I am, I'm cooking the formula or the milk inside of the bottle.
So is it put in the front office?
But the answer is no, because irritably vision only cooks the outer layer. The outer layer over here is the bottle.
So I don't have the cough.
Okay, you're not, because you're keeping it inside of the bottle and you're pouring the hot water on the outside of the bottle. If you had to pour hot water into the bottle, you'd have a problem. But you don't usually do that. You don't usually dilute your with hot water. What you do is you fill it up as a bottle and you immerse it into. We used to use the washing cup, right? That's, you take the, that's a, washing cups are very versatile. You can do a lot of things besides washing your hands, right? Fill it up. You put the bottle in. Go to the urn. Turn on the urn, and the urn will hot water will come out and warm up the liquid inside. It won't cook it. It only cooks kanei klipa. The klipa over here, the layer that it cooks is the bottle. Oh, but we're not worried about it. We don't care about cooking. You're not really cooking the bottle. So you can do that on Shabbos. You can heat up your baby bottle in that way. If you want to pour hot water directly into the side of the bottle, that would be a problem, because it's not cooked, you'd have a problem. Then we mentioned the hot water into a wet cup, so that the little amount of drops which are left on the bottom are not problematic. So even though you're pouring from a klimishin into this cup, which has liquid which is dried up totally, it's fine. There's some people which are machmer, but that's fine. Okay, klisheni. Kale bishul. So klisheni, in general, the halacha is that klisheni does not cook. So theoretically, I want to take a previously cooked. Do I have it in there? Bishlach or bishul liquids. C. Let's start with that. So C. Bishlach or bishul liquids. I heated up a liquid and I made it fully cooked, and now it cooled off. I can put it to a klishen without a problem. So it means I take my klishen is where the water was heated. Let's say, or the food was heated. I pour it into a cup, into a container, into a bowl, whatever it is. It's a klisheni. I can heat up whatever I want to heat up. Any previously cooked, now cold liquid is mutter to put into a klisheni. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys, girls are so quiet.
Yes, makes sense.
Okay, thank you. Okay, appreciate that. Okay. What did I say? Whatever. It just makes sense, right? All right. I want to add ketchup into a klisheni. It was previously cooked. We're machmer, you know, okay, but the klisheni, it's mutter. Any of those type of things. Soluble foods into coffee, tea, sugar, cooked salt into a klisheni, mutter. All those things are going to be mutter.
But you have to first, you have to put in after the water.
You put in after the water. It's not clear. You're doing it after the stages are, you have your urn, you have your soup pot, that's the klibishin. You then pour from the urn into the cup. That's called Iri Klibishin. You're pouring from the Klibishin. Then once it's in the, you stop pouring. Now it's sitting in the cup, minding its own business. It's called a Klisheni.
Right.
Okay. So now you're putting into the Klisheni. Everything is wonderful. Now, Kali Bishul. Halacha says that even though Klisheni cannot cook, certain things are cooked very easily and you cannot put them into Klisheni. What are those things? We don't know.
What?
Say that again, right? The halacha says you klisheni can't cook, with the exception of certain things which cook very easily. What are those things? We don't know. So therefore, we're machmer. We say you should not be cooking anything which is not cooked. Something which is uncooked.
Anything
we'll get to halacha. We'll get to. Right.
Wait, I have a question.
Let me finish the thought. Okay, so I have a klisheni again. It's in a klisheni already. I say I can put things which are previously cooked in there, no problem. Things which are previously cooked and they cooled off, no problem. Soluble liquids that have been cooked beforehand, no problem. Soluble solids, I guess. Better way of saying that, not soluble liquids. Right. And I want to put into my klisheni something which cooks, it has never been cooked before. I want to put in some a vegetable in there. Add in some fresh carrots. Into my cliche. Well,
raw.
Right? Raw carrots, right. Yeah, raw carrots, right? I want to put in something which has not been cooked before into my cliche. Am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
So Meeker didn't allow to do that. The only problem, cliche doesn't cook. The problem is, Allah said there's certain things which cook easily, which you should not put into a cliche because they will cook in a cliche. What are those things? We know certain things are not calibishal. And certain things we're not sure. So, for example, one example is, we know that water is not a calibishal. So I have a klisheni of water from the urn. I take my and I take out even a large amount, and I want to add some more. I want to add some cold water from the tap to it. Am I allowed to do that? The answer is yes. Maybe the water will be cooking the water. Water doesn't cook in a klisheni. I want to add oil.
Really?
Oil does not cook in a klisheni. So I'm allowed to add oil. I'm allowed to add water in that situation. Certain things we know for sure are kalibishul, and then even where there's a certain even a klishlishi, there's eggs. You know, klishishi, a person cannot take a raw egg and stick it in the klishishi. I can let it cook in general, so I can put an egg on the klishishi. So I put my raw egg in this hot cup and it makes soft-boiled egg. You can't do that on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Right? Tea leaves. Tea leaves is a fascinating question. Your tea bag, what's inside the tea bag? I don't know, tea. Right? What, right? So there's something called a tea bush. Right?
There are leaves in it.
It has leaves on it. Yes, so far so good. Right? And you take the leaves off and you dry them. You do not cook them. And then you gather them together and you put them into a tea bag. And then you put the tea bag into your cup and you make tea. Well, I don't do that in a klisheni. No. Do not make tea. You do not use
a
tea.
Is that dry if things cook?
1 second. Now, so I let's go step by step. So I want to take my tea bag and put it into a klisheni. Into a klimishin? No. Iri klimishin? No. Klisheni? No. What about a klishlishi?
Yeah.
So the chazanish says no.
Really?
He says we're not sure that since they're so thin and they're so easily cooked, maybe even a klishlishi will be problematic. Rav Moshe Zatzal said a klishlishi is mutter, and you'll see some people will make tea in a klishlishi using a tea bag, and that's why, because they're relying on Rav Moshe Zatzal, which Rav Moshe is Rav Moshe. Some people will not do that, but they will simply make tea essence before Shabbos. That's what's called tea essence. Tea essence is the real name, right? I don't know why the tea makes sense, but tea does have, you have the essence of the tea. It's just you're cooking, you make a concentrated tea. It's called the essence of the tea, and that's already been cooked,
right.
So that you can add into a klisheni.
Is there a problem with schita?
So now, even if you do use a tea bag, if you do use a tea bag on Shabbos to make it in a klishlishi, the biggest problem you're going to have is borer.
Right, and taking it out.
Okay, because when you take the tea bag out, so the tea bag is really it's a small sieve. It's a small sifter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And its job is to keep the leaves in and let the water out. That's like a sifter, which is the job to keep out the large pieces of the... Where do they do sifting in the Mishkan? Where they sifting in the Mishkan, they took the herbs that they're using for the Samanim, they ground them up, and they didn't want, they wanted to use the very fine particles and not the large pieces. Large pieces they would grind again. So they would sift it. And as they sifted, the very fine pieces would come through and the large pieces would remain. That's a form of, that's the malacha of barer, merakeh, right? Sifting, it's a form of barer. So you can't, you're doing a teabag, you're doing the same thing. Your teabag is letting out the nice, hot, tea-flavored liquid and keeping the teabag, the tea leaves behind. And when I grew up, there was something, probably not going to know what it was, but not less common. It was loose tea. Right? Loose tea, you buy loose tea.
Just the leaves.
The leaves. You can make tea with loose tea. You don't need it, no. You try to avoid eating the leaves at the end. So somebody came up with a great idea called a tea bowl. It was a little metal thing, which had a cap, and you put tea leaves inside, and you put it inside. So you said, well, why do you do it with metal? We can do it with this paper thing, which is, and next thing we know, we have tea bags. And some guy must have made a lot of money on that, right? Unless he sold his patent to somebody else, and he feels bad about it. Okay, so you have a problem with Borer. If you're going to lift that up above the cup and let it drip out, you are doing Borer. So we advise against that, because we get back to the cliff thing, right? Right? If we do that.
So you leave it in when you drink.
Or you take.
So you can leave it in. You can leave it in. One option. The other option is the Dine Weiss itself said take it out with a spoon. What's the advantage of taking it out with a spoon? Because you take out some of the liquid, with it. So you're not really doing barer. Or alternatively, he says take it out extremely quickly. Do not let anything drip. Put into the garbage. That which drips on the way from there to the garbage, that's any miskaven. There's an example. I couldn't care less about the drips which make it on my floor. I mean, I do care about them, but not in a positive way. I don't want it to drip on my floor. So that's any miskaven. I have no intent to make sure that do it act the bow rare, but the few drips which make it, but if I hold it over my cup, and it's on my cup, I want that. I'm doing that because I want to cop around a little more liquid. That would be bow rare. So, in a kli shlishi, or the Chazish said not to do it in a kli shlishi, and it's best to just do, and Mishmur seems to agree with that, it's best to just do, make tea essence before Shabbos. Tea essence can be added to a kli sheni, mikra din. In the Rangel house, Karachel will tell you, we use a kli shlishi for it. That's some chumras that her father has, which you don't have to worry about. What?
Is there a thing with adding honey?
Now, honey...
Because my father's lately, like,
when they've
been adding honey, they made it, like, put it into a
cliche. So honey is not cooked. The honey that you get is not cooked. It's an uncooked item. So we said, you don't put an uncooked item in a cliche. So if you want to add honey, you want to add sugar, sugar goes, it's much to a cliche. You want to add honey, do it in a cliche. Ladles. Okay, let's talk about ladles for a second. What's the status of a ladle? So I have my chicken pot. I made my chicken soup. I have my pot of chicken soup, and I take it off of the fire. It is a kli rishon. I put it into your bowl. That's a cliche. You know, that's not really true. I used a ladle in the middle. I ladled out from the kli rishon into the bowl. So it went from the pot, which is kli rishon, into the ladle, into my bowl. So is a ladle considered a cliche, and therefore your bowl is a kli shlishi? Why is that important? I want to add a piece of challah into my soup. Or matzah. Right? That's been baked. It has not been cooked. Are you allowed to put something which has been baked into your cliche? No, we don't do that. Can you add it into your bowl of soup? Well, the answer is a ladle is cliche. This is a cliche. And it's mutter. If the ladle is not considered a cliche, this is cliche. This is the cliche, and you cannot do it. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah.
Do you understand the question? So we have to figure out what is the status. What is the status of a ladle? And the answer is it is a... Machloikis. Okay.
Depends, of course.
My father always used to say, whenever he would ask me a lachashal, I said, the first answer is daddy, before we start, the answer is it is a. And he said, I'm a machloikis. I said, good. Now, what are we paskin? Right, that was his, I know it's a machloikis. Everything is a machloikis, right? Jews are very good at
arguing.
Right. I'll tell you a word about that in a second. So we differentiate in halach in the following way. If you're just putting the ladle in and out, it's considered a cliche. And therefore, your bowl is a kli shlishi, and you want to add your piece of challah, you want to add some matzah, whatever that is, into your bowl. That's not a problem. Crumbling up matzah is not considered tochein; it's already been ground. It's not considered tochein to do that. You want to crumble your matzah into your bowl, soup. That's fine. I advise you against doing it by people who are machmer and gebrochs. You might be asked to leave the house. There's a minute not to do it by the Seder. You should not not to cook matzah by the Seder. Only eat matzah in a baked form, not in a cooked form. But otherwise, if you eat kebrach, that's fine. However, if you leave the ladle in, especially if you put the ladle in while it's on the fire, so it's going to heat up, so that ladle is not considered a klisheni, and therefore your bowl is a klisheni. So you're just ladling in and out, letting it out. Another problem. If you
leave it in there?
So if you have your nice hot pot of soup, it's just off the fire, you put your ladle in, I take care of something else. You come back 15 minutes later, 10 minutes later, that ladle's been sitting in that pot of soup. That ladle is not considered a klisheni. And therefore, ladling out with that would not make your bowl a klisheni. Your bowl would be klisheni.
Okay.
Hot salads in a klisheni. Dover gush. Is that a familiar phrase? Dover gush?
No.
Okay, dover gush means a salad. That's translated. So I have a hot potato for my cholent. Right? So I have a hot potato for my cholent. It's sitting on my plate. So we know that the kalim cause liquids to cool off more quickly. Solids keep their heat much longer. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So now there's a consideration of halacha that we consider that a davar gush, even though it's sitting in a klisheni, like it's still a kli rishon. Okay, so now I want to put some pepper, black pepper, onto my cholent potato. My pepper isn't cooked, and this hot potato is like a kli rishon. We said you can't put pepper into a kli rishon. So you should not put an uncooked item directly onto a hot salad, even though it's on your plate, which is a klisheni. You should not do so. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a klishlishi, you should not do so. Went from the cholent to the serving bowl into my plate. I don't care. As long as that potato is still yatza lettuce bow, do not add an uncooked item
Wait,
to
so
it.
So how do you?
Something which is cooked. You want to put some ketchup on top of it? No problem.
Wait, so is there any way to add salt to something?
Salt, cooked salt will be fine. If you're now there is a aruch hashulchan. There's an aruch hashulchan which says if you have a very soupy cholent, so even though there are salads in there, that's not a problem because the nature of the liquids will help the salad to cool up more quickly. If you're very dry cholent, the heat won't stay there longer than a soupy cholent. So that he says it's not a problem in the case where it's a soupy cholent. But if you have a dry type of a cholent, or you take this item by itself away from the liquid and it's sitting in liquid. I'll give you another example of this. You had coleslaw on your plate. And you have the liquid from the coleslaw. That's an uncooked liquid. And you take your cholent, you put your cholent smack on top of the liquid left over from the cholent, from the coleslaw. That's not a good idea because your hot potato is cooking the uncooked liquid from the coleslaw, which you just put on there. You're not makaber for that. But you're going to ask me, right? You didn't ask me that. You should have asked me that. That's not your intent.
Yeah, I was
right?
going to say.
Right? But
I was thinking it.
Okay, good.
Wait, how do you know if your salt is cooked or not? Does it say on the thing? On the containers?
It doesn't always say.
Wait, so like more in salt, there's no way to add it to cholent?
I didn't say there's no way to add it to cholent. You can add it to the liquid part of it. You want to add it directly onto a hot item, so you should wait till it cools off a little bit.
But as a whole, you could add it? Like if you
liquid? Yes, it's liquidy. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think we ran through everything over here, and I will tell you just one quick word and let you girls go. Okay. So the Jews are argumentative. You notice that yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Who disagrees with me? Okay. So the morale says, why is that? Why did Russia make Jews argumentative? Says, because imagine like this, we're having a conversation, I'm telling you this a lot. And you say, yes. Have we clarified anything?
Mm-mm.
No. Let's say, well, why not this? Oh, no. And then we clarify. And, well, what about that? And we keep going back and forth. So Russia made our nature to be different. This way, we will clarify the halacha of the Torah, words of Torah, much better. Because if I just always agree, exactly. You're not going to think deeper into it. As soon as you ask me a question, I said, it's a good question. And let's think, oh, that must be really, you know, we get it clearer and clearer and clearer what exactly the point of the Torah
so
is.
So it's clarifying our argument.
So the point is, the point is, my Rebbe used to say like this, the goal is not to scream the other person down into the ground, you know, pound them down into the ground, because I can yell louder. The point is to present your position, and the goal is, you should understand my position, I should understand your position, we both understand each other's position, and stop there. That's what Chassam Sofer says. That's a good fight. Good fight is, I now understand what you're saying, you understand what I'm saying, and that's it.
You don't have to come to a conclusion.
If we can work out a conclusion, great. But repeating the same thing, you ever hear these conversations that people disagree on the same, things over and over and over again?
Yeah.
That's not a valid fight in halacha. Right? Just like, wait, it's a waste of time. I had one this morning before I came here, because I have a kibur with the members of the kollel, and I said a question, someone gave me an answer, and I said, but what about this? The person said this, repeated the same. And after about 5 minutes, we were just repeating ourselves. I said, you know what? I don't like doing this. Let's go on to the next point. I said, what? You know, it's usually what happens. But, you know, like, I heard that already, you know. I know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Okay, girls, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you.